This is Dana, and you are listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Do a quick mic check. Somebody almost tripped over this circle thing.
They're going to take me out. Like, should I be concerned?
No, he almost took you out, actually. The way he was tripping right here, if he would have kept going.
Like, it would have been like bowling balls for Dana.
Yeah.
How many pins can you knock over?
Like, take a picture, hurry.
Get the camera out. Let's get the video rolling.
We'll get the quick mic check. And
hello.
Whatever you want to say.
How are you doing? Happy Tuesday.
All right. Yeah. I think I'm day off.
It is Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it is okay. Tuesday. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network and recording live from the Music City Center in Nashville, Tennessee for the 2014 National NENA Conference. And this is going to be part two, or the second, the retake of episode 64 of Within the Trenches. I'm sitting here with Dana with Sumter County 911 out of Florida, and she's also a Friends of 911 Scholarship winner as well as CMCP certified. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you today?
I'm doing a little better today
than yesterday. Take two is going to go better than take one, that's for sure.
Yeah, and for those listening, the reason that we're doing a take two here, I won't get fully into it, but if you know what a Signal 20 is or a 1096, we had someone stop in and just kind of jacked up the episode. It was enough to where the other two mics that were on here, they're hot. They're always hot. And someone had sat down next to us while we were doing this episode and was just talking a lot. So I'm telling Dana to take out some cords, some plugs from the mics. And as we're doing that, I completely forgot that there's 48 volts of power going into those. So as soon as she pulled them out, I wish I could have gotten it on video, you taking your headphones off, because I couldn't get my headphones off fast enough, but you somehow just whoosh, hair still stayed fine and everything. And it was just a lot of feedback and crackling, right?
Right. But it was loud. It was one of those, like, I'm not listening to that.
Yeah, it was really loud. So we had to unplug those. But so the gentleman remained, and we kept going. We started talking. We started this episode. And then I turned down the wrong knob for the volume. So while we're going through the entire episode, which was a good episode, I go to play it back. And it's me asking questions and then silence. Dana was signing her her answers.
She's using my sign language over here.
Yeah, you could barely hear you. I mean, you'd have to sit in a quiet room and turn up the volume all the way up to hear your response. Because the thing was down and this time, we're good to go. Yeah, we're good to go this time. And it's going to make it funny. We got a couple things that we're going to play. I've got a tape that I'm going to play of a intoxicated gentleman. And we'll get through that. See a reaction from Dana. See if she's ever dealt with any of that. I'm pretty sure you have. But when we talked last, the last episode we did, you were en route.
You know, there's a joke on one of your podcasts I was listening to. Somebody kept saying en route, and they'd go en route.
En route. Yeah, I think it was episode 62. Yeah, that episode was that was a funny episode. I enjoyed that one. Some drinks going on during the episode.
I don't have any drinks today.
I know,
okay,
there's no drinks
clear,
today. Yeah, it's like 11:35 here.
Yeah, no drinks.
But you know, like they say, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. But so yeah, you were headed down to the Mini-C conference, and we were going to do a follow-up episode on that. So how did it go?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. I went down for the whole week. Mm-hmm. And of course, Tom with the cool kids of 911 puts it on and organizes. And you can just tell how much work Tom put into that. It went so smoothly. It was like clockwork. There was no issues. It was just when somebody puts that much, work into it beforehand and all the prep work and everything that he did to make it go so smooth, it just tells you, just how much he put into it and how much time and his personal time and how dedicated he is. So it was awesome. It was a whole week. Monday was a motivational day with Maureen Diekman. She kind of lifted everybody up and, you know, said, don't fly the broom and, you know, don't be that person in your comm center that flies the broom. Oh, it was hilarious. It was the quote of the week. And then she also had the Island of Suck. Don't be on the Island of Suck.
Oh, that's another good one.
It was a good one. Yes. I enjoyed that one. So she was really awesome. Enjoyed her. It was, you know, good pick you up for the first part of the conference. Uh-huh. And then Tuesday was Andre Lanier. He did a really awesome presentation the second half of the afternoon. We came back from lunch called Living the Dream. And he talked about things that, you know, in public safety, you don't always hear. People don't always say it to you. You know, it's about, you know, living within your means and budgeting. And, you know, you don't have to have the Mercedes. You know, the Toyota Camry is just fine.
Exactly.
You know, and
right.
Kind of living in your, you know, because everybody thinks they have to keep up with people and you don't. It's you know, live within your means and really what's important in life. And one of the things he said, you know, is people in hospice don't ask for more money. They ask for more time.
Right.
And make sure that you are putting time into those people that are important in your life now. Wednesday was split up. They had an active shooter course that Sherry put on, and then also a instructor techniques and developments. I ended up going to that course, but everybody who went to this active shooter that Sherry put on said it was awesome.
Now, were there any active shooter calls?
No, and because the year before they had an active shooter call during their active shooter course that people had to get up and leave.
Yes, I was there.
So no, there was no active shooter calls this year. So that went a little smoother.
Good, that's
a little
good.
Smoother. Thursday we had Tony Harrison of the Public Safety Group. He came in and did an awesome class. And you know, if you've ever heard him speak, you know he's just awesome and holds the room. Friday was Gordon Graham, which, you know, I was most excited about.
Yes, your personal favorite.
I was very excited because, you know, I follow him on Lexapol and get the, you know, the tips of the day, but it's really like a tip of the week. But,
Well, so, for those who don't know who Gordon Graham is, can you give us a little overview of what he does? And
he is basically in the, like, risk management now and prevention and, you know, a lot of what comes across in his is law enforcement or, okay. You know, jail staff based, but there is things that apply to the comm center or whatnot. But as a dispatcher, I enjoy listening and watching because I think about things that my deputies are going through out on the road.
Right.
So it gives me, you know, some knowledge and some insight to what they do that they don't come in and sit and walk us through all the steps of, you know, when they're making arrest and what they do. And it's just little things that helps me think about it. And I think like last week it was one about dealing with naked subjects, you know, and it's one, he's like, this is one of those awkward talks, you know, got to talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
So, and that was like one of his that I think that was last week's, you know, and it was just, you don't think about that stuff that you have to deal with. And you're also in the public eye and it's just one of those awkward things.
That's awesome.
So he's, you know,
so there's
it's
a
just,
shout out to Gordon Graham.
Yeah. So it's always nice to watch him. You never know what he's going to talk about. And it's a learning experience either way. If you work in the industry, I feel.
Have you ever taken any phone calls with naked subjects?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Naked subjects. Yeah. We had one that was like naked and only wearing an eye patch.
Oh, a naked pirate.
Yeah. And,
in
yeah,
Florida.
And yeah. And they wouldn't verify the location of the eye patch. So we're not really sure.
That's awesome. I had a partner once who took a call with a naked guy, and the caller, he was an older gentleman, and he was very upset. And I know I've told the story before, but I always laugh about it thinking about it. And I remember she was saying, you got to hear this. And I actually didn't get a chance to listen to the call while it was going on. But the guy, he was upset as well as embarrassed because there was a guy naked on stilts just walking outside back and forth in front of his living room window. And he's like, you got to get somebody out here. So I don't think I ever had to actually deal with a bunch of naked subjects, but
yeah,
if I did, I would hope that would be, you know, a good story.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, it sounds like everything went good there at the mini C.
Oh, it
and
did.
A big shout out to Tom for putting that together and doing
absolutely.
Everything that he does.
Absolutely. And the Cool Kids of 911, you know, he's continuously posting stuff on that page. So mm-hmm. If you don't follow the Cool Kids of 911 on Facebook and Twitter, you know, you really should.
Yeah.
And just to educate yourself and just to have, you know, somewhere else to go for resources, if nothing else.
Right. Yeah. They have a lot of good stories that I see on there. And every now and then I'll share on mine as well on my Facebook page and put, you know, from our friends at the Cool Kids of 911, because I don't know where he finds some of those stories. I have, like on Google, you can do Google alerts, and I have in their 911 dispatch. So every day, I think at like 9 in the morning or something, it'll send me a bunch of different stories from 911. And then I've seen his, and I'm thinking, those aren't the same stories that I have. No. His are a lot cooler.
It's like, where did he get all this? I know he's, I don't know where he digs them all up from, but he
or
does.
Or when he sleeps.
I don't think he does sleep. I kind of think that he, I don't know, he's like one of those superhumans, I think. I really don't think he sleeps.
Does he talk a lot? Like when you've had conversations with him? Because the few times that I've spoken to him, it was just kind of small talk, you know, here and there, and then he's off, you know, busy doing other things.
Yeah, so. He doesn't sit. That's what, he doesn't sit long enough to have a long conversation. He'll come, he'll sit, you know, visit, talk, whatever, and he's, you know, gone somewhere else doing something else.
So was he at the entire lunch or dinner that you had with
Oh, he was. He did, because, you know, he drove me, so he kind of had to stay. He couldn't leave me there. Oh,
so he actually had a chance to, to hang out and, so if there was and food relax
in,
a little bit.
Yeah, if there was food involved, he usually stayed. So, and remain seated.
Maybe that's how I'm going to have to get him on the on an episode.
You think?
I'm going to have to go over there and be like, check it out. I got you some dinner, and I also have a microphone.
And we're just going to sit here?
We're just going to talk. The microphones aren't on.
No big deal. Don't worry.
Yeah. That'll be my way to get him on. Now, the Friends of 911, this is a scholarship that you got. And I know I had asked you yesterday, but because the episode got screwed up, I'm going to do it again.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. What was the entire process for it?
Well, it was an online application. Mm-hmm. So if you went to the website or clicked on the link, it took you to like an online form to fill out with, of course, your basic information of who you are, where you're from, you know, what you do, what's your position. And it kind of asked, you know, like, you know, what you're doing now, what you're involved in now, what are your future goals? You know, where do you see yourself? And you know, kind of why do you want to come to this conference, and you know, why should we invest in you?
Right.
So you know, you filled all that out, and then you also had to submit your resume with it as well. So you know, I had to tweak my resume and make sure it looked pretty still, and send that over as well.
Does your resume look awesome? Like, do you have anything unique on it?
I don't think I have anything unique on it. No.
The only reason I ask is because during my master's program for new media journalism, they wanted us to make it unique as possible to stand out. And on my website for my blog, it's like half of my face that shows. It's like from my nose up, and you know, I've got my eyebrow up like the
right,
Rock.
Right.
And that's what I put on my resume in the bottom right hand corner.
I had that on my
resume.
I didn't get that creative. That's kind of cool though.
I was just curious.
I mean, you know, you do that at the top, or you know, you're looking over the pages.
Exactly. Yeah, that was one of the things that they wanted. That, you know, the people when they're looking at the resumes, you know, they look at it for, I don't know, like 15 to 20 seconds or something, just a glance over, and they said, you know, throw something on there to you know, to stand
out. Well, that's kind of cool. That's kind of a cool idea.
So I threw my face on there. Thought, well, if anything, it might be annoying, and they'll remember it for being annoying.
There you go.
This guy, this jerk, he put his face on it. But we remember him.
That's right.
Yeah. But so then you went through the process, and then how long did it take for you to find out whether you got it? I mean, did you get a phone call or was it an email?
It was an email. Like, we all got an email, I believe, and kind of said, hey, you know, you've been selected. You're a winner. We're going to follow up in a couple of days with your promo code. So when you go and register, and it all happened kind of quickly. So, you know, once we found out, it was like, quick, make sure you had that time off still. And rock on with it, get your hotel, and because it all just kind of happened quickly, so you didn't have a whole lot of time to get it all together.
Oh, man. How much time did you have?
Well, I say that I probably had, because it was like middle of May, so I had about a month to get it all together. But
still,
the hotel rooms are booking up. So.
Right, yeah.
But it was, you know what I'm saying? Without that, though, I wouldn't have been able to come here, so I'm very fortunate to have been in a position to receive one. I'm very thankful to be here and to be a part of the national, you know, this is my first, you know, national conference, so... like I said, without it, I wouldn't have been able to make this trip up here, and I'm very fortunate to be able to attend.
Yeah, because usually you pay your own way.
I do.
From what I've heard.
Yeah.
From a lot of others.
Yeah, and like, I have my 911 fund funds that I roll. I have it's a savings account that I roll money out of my paycheck every 2 weeks to set aside for investment in myself. As far as training and education goes, or travel expenses, should I go? Because, you know, the Cool Kids Conference is completely free. It's a free conference, free education.
Right.
But when I travel down there, I still have to, cover my room and my travel expenses.
And 4.5 hours.
And 4.5 hours
of
driving.
4.5 hours of driving and, gas and everything else.
I don't mind the driving. Like, you know, it took me 11 and a half to get up here when I drove up to Nashville. So
that must have been fun. Did you hit any weather?
I did
like
get
bad
some
weather?
Yeah, some rain, and you know, I don't like rain on those huge, you know, major interstates, but it's
as long as you got some good wipers and people who actually turn their lights on,
then you're good to go.
Then it works out.
Yeah.
It always sucks when you have a jerk in front of you that has no lights on.
And you're like, oh gosh, it's a car, crap.
Yeah. Like, where'd you come from? How about you turn your lights on? So in one of the parts that they asked, you know, what are your future goals of 911? Like, where do you see yourself going from here on out?
From here on out is certainly, I would love to move up in, you know, my comm center, maybe to a position of management or a lead position. So, you know, future goals to gear myself towards that. But any extra education that I'm able to assist others in and reach out to, either on my Facebook page or, you know, however, if I can provide somebody else with some educational tips, or hey, go here for training, or if I can guide someone, mm-hmm. or they can learn from my experiences, or you know, something like that. That's my biggest goal, is to be involved in helping other people, or you know, move forward and in teaching them to invest in themselves as well. And I think we need to kind of change the mentality of how people view this career. It's because it's a profession. It's not, you know, a something you do for a little while.
Right. You're not, you know, it's just a dispatcher.
You need to take pride in what you do.
Right.
And you need to invest in yourself, and you need to, you know, take that initiative, because not all the time your agency's not going to back you in everything you do. Or maybe it's not that they don't back you, but, you know, hey, great, go do it on your own. We can't afford to send you.
What do you think it is that some telecommunicators think, well, I'm just a dispatcher, so I'm not going to do anything. And they, I don't know, they decide not to try to move up or try to further their education, like, you know, the way you're doing. What do you think it is? Why do people get into that rut?
And I don't know if people have maybe talked down to them and make mm-hmm. them feel that way. But, you know, you're in charge of your future. That's how I look at that. So if you're going to let people make you feel that way, or, you know, make you feel limited, or let yourself feel limited, you know, you're really going to, you got to have to change that mentality and change how you feel about that and your lookout on all of it. Because without that, you're going to be stuck in that chair all the time. And you're, you know, right. You need to get out and network, and you need coming out to these conferences and training things allows you to network mm-hmm. and get in with other people that also struggle with the same issues that you're struggling, or, you know, maybe they're having a down day, or they also feel unappreciated, or that they're just a dispatcher, or, and it's really not the case. I think everybody has the same issues and struggles all with the same thing.
Right.
And to reach out and, you know that other people are struggling with that as well.
Hopefully, you know, it ends up changing a lot, because I have seen that where people are just in that rut and like, I don't know what else to do. And it's like, well, just, you know, continue your education, keep going, and you know, it'll work out. Now, you've got a CMCP certification.
I do.
Correct? Okay.
Yes.
And what exactly does that entail? Because I know it's fairly new. A lot of people don't know about it. I know a few. Well, when it started coming out and people were talking about it, I had no idea what it was. So I'm assuming that a lot of people still don't know exactly what CMCP is. So what is that?
It's the Center Manager Certification Program. Mm-hmm. And I went because I kind of wanted to know what the backside of the comm center stuff, you know, because I know the dispatch chair and I know that, right. you know, I understand the day-to-day of that. But I went to further my horizons on what is all entailed behind the scenes. And it was a week-long rigorous course, I will say. It was a week-long. It's a 40-hour course, and you have homework every night. You have a group activity as well as a final personal presentation. So it was no joke. If you go, you better be committed and plan to buckle down. So I had a really good group that I was placed with. I was very fortunate. Ty Wooten and Brian Tegmeyer were the teachers. In my group, I had Stephen Martini, which he's here out of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I've seen him, and it was nice to see him while he's here. And the only one I feel like I'm missing is Jeff Schimmer.
That's right.
And I know you had spoke with Jeff.
Yes. Shout out to Jeff.
We miss Jeff. We wish he could have been here. We did a you know, dinners together and that kind of thing afterwards. So it was nice to kind of get that perspective from them as well, because I feel like I took way more from that class than anybody else did, because maybe I had such a gap to fill, or, you know, just because I had that support group with me, because, like, you know, Stephen would sit next to me and it would things that I wasn't familiar with, and he'd pull me up a link and send it to me, or hey, this is where, you know, type this in here, you know, so you have that later to refer back to. And it was just so helpful for me,
right?
That I was so fortunate to be in that group of people and have them be so supportive and helpful to me. Yeah, and I keep in contact with them still.
Good.
I know.
Yeah, because Jeff and I were talking about you at the Indiana Nina conference. And he goes, have you actually met her? And I said, no, not yet. I mean, well, you know, we talk over Skype and message, you know, every now and then. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm really impressed with her and her motivation. And I heard the episode with you two on it. And he goes, are you going to do another one? And I said, well, of course, we got to do an update. And didn't know that we were going to have to redo an update. But Jeff, if you're listening, shout out to you. And the next time I see you, I'll hook you up with a shot of some Jim Beam Black.
Oh, and you know what? I'm going to have a Krispy Kreme in your honor while I'm here because I found the Krispy Kreme.
So there is one around
There's
here.
There's a Krispy Kreme donut. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my wife had found it too, but I don't remember how far it was. But
it's not that far. It's like a mile or so. It's a mile. It's not over two.
What do you prefer, Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts?
I prefer Krispy Kreme.
Really?
Because you know I found out that Dunkin' Donuts doesn't make them there. They have them shipped in.
Oh, I'm sad.
I am too. I didn't know that. I had talked to him.
The guy with the thick mustache from the '80s doesn't make them anymore.
I guess not. What I had understood is they don't make them there. They have them shipped in. They make them like, you know. Whoa. I don't know. And you can watch them get made right there at the Krispy Kreme.
That's pretty
cool. But in my area, I don't have any Krispy Kremes local to me. We do have a mom and pop little donut shop.
Do you have to drive like 4 hours for it?
No, because I do. We have a little mom and pop donut shop where I'm at, and they make them fresh there, and I go there.
See, sometimes those are the best ones.
Oh, it's always packed. You know what I'm saying? It's always packed, like line out the building, you know?
Yes.
The street.
Man. Yeah, we have, we had a local one that was just down the road from us. It was called V's. And that place was amazing. We would go there and get donuts all the time. But there's also another place that we go to, and it's called the DeBoer Bakery. And I can't even say that much about it because it's that good.
It's that good.
Yes.
It's like you just have to go experience it. This is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I would go there at about 8 or 8:30 in the morning and almost everything was gone already. And the one time I show up at 6 in the morning, they were just making stuff. So I didn't get a lot of what I wanted, but, you know, they were like, come back. I was like, no, I can't come back. I got to go because it was for Telco week.
Right.
So I went and visited my old PSAP and took them a bunch of muffins and donuts and some like pigs in a blanket and stuff that they do there. And so it was still amazing either way.
Right.
But, yeah. How did we get on donuts?
Well, you chased a rabbit. <I know. laughs> Because why not talk about donuts?
Exactly. Donuts are awesome. So now that you have that CMCP certification, what about the EMP? Now, is that one that you're looking at as well? Or
I could say yes. I've got a long, there's definitely got to be a lot of studying involved with that.
That's
so,
what I hear.
So a future goal, absolutely. Future goal. So we're going to, you know, start thinking about that in the very near future, I think.
Yeah, I've already been challenged by Fletch over there because he's on the Institute board now for NINA.
Absolutely.
And they do that stuff with the EMP.
Yeah.
So he challenged me. So by fall. I need to have it.
This fall?
Yeah, this coming fall.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's when there's a summer test at the end of the summer, and then there's one, at the end of the fall. So, because we did an episode first thing in the morning today, and during the episode, the challenge was laid down at the end of the episode.
No pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
No
and
pressure.
I said, okay, great. Well, yeah, everybody's going to hear this. So, you know, here's the challenge. So, yeah.
All right, we're going to have to be checking in and see how you're doing.
Yeah. Are you going to do it that fast?
Oh, I don't think I can do it that fast, no. No, I think I have a lot more studying.
Yeah, it sounds like it's intense. I'll see how that goes. You know, we were just talking about, or a little bit ago, we were talking about calls with nakedness. Now, as odd as that sounds, if anybody was to tune in right at that moment, like, what?
We got donuts, nakedness,
yeah,
it's
donuts,
all happening today.
Nakedness, it's all in 911. That's what happens. What about drunk people? What about drunk men, women?
Oh, yeah, we get plenty of those.
Can you remember any drunk calls that you might have taken that?
Our drunken calls usually turn into like that they're domestic things and they're both drunk.
Oh, no.
And that's why they're calling is now they're both drunk and they're upset with each other and. Neither one has a driver's license to go anywhere because they've been drunk previously driving.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of that, I would say.
Yeah, you know, I had one where this guy called in, and it's weird because the tape that I'm going to play here in just a moment, it's kind of similar to what I'm going to say, one of the calls that I took. But this guy calls in, and he says that he was upset because he got kicked out of the bar he was at. And you could tell he was ripped. And he lived at the the very north end of the county, and the bar that he was in was at the very south end of the county. And what he was upset about was that the bar kicked him out because he was too drunk. Like they said that he was too drunk, and he had spent so much money in there, and he couldn't believe that they had done that. And he says, what I want you to do, because I asked him, well, what exactly do you want me to do? I can't send the police over there to yell at them for doing their job. And he says, well, I want you to send an officer over here and give me a breathalyzer test. And I said, well, why do you want them to do that? And he says, well, because I want to prove that I wasn't as drunk as they said. And so I can call them and have proof and have the police go over there and tell them that he wasn't as drunk as you guys said. You shouldn't have kicked him out. And I said, I told them no. I told them that wasn't going to happen and that we couldn't do that. Well, he ends up hanging up and then he calls back and he's yelling at me now. And he's just calling me dispatcher. And he's yelling and he's like, come on, dispatcher, do your job. Do your job, dispatcher. Have the police come over here. And I was trying not to laugh. You know, I'm biting my lip, trying not to laugh at him or anything. And after several calls, one of the state troopers says, if he calls one more time, we'll go over there and I'll arrest him for abuse of 911. And I said, okay, sounds good. And I hung up with the officer and then the guy called back on 911. And he goes, you going to send him over here, dispatcher? And I said, you know what, sir? I am going to send them over there because this is what we do. We help the public. And and he goes, well, good. You know, and he goes, but make sure to tell your officer that's coming over here to be careful because I don't mess around. So if you want something, I was like, okay, are you really saying this to me right now? I was like, okay, I'll let him know that. I'll tell him and we'll figure this out. We'll help you out. You've been calling this whole time. I apologize. I will help you. I will send the officer to go and assist you. And he goes, okay, dispatcher. And he hangs up. So I'm telling the officer, I get him on one of the secondary channels and I say that, you know, he told me this. He said, you need to watch out because he doesn't mess around. And the officer keys up and he starts busting up laughing. And he goes, I'll remember that. So he gets over to the house and he checks in there and we ask him if he wanted any status checks. And he goes, no, I'll be fine. And not a couple minutes later, after he had checked out there, he goes, I got one in custody.
I was like, gosh.
All right. I was like, that was, you know, I even got a letter of recommendation and or yes, from the trooper for to go and be a supervisor because of that call.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So that was one of my many with drunk people. But the tape that I want to play, there's a guy. His name is Justin. I want to make sure I get this right. I won't say his last name, but he's the assistant manager with St. George Consolidated Dispatch Center. And I believe this is out of Utah. If not, Justin, you can send me an email and correct me. But I believe that's where it's from. But he sent me an email saying, you know, we love the show and we would love to be on the show. So I've been emailing back and forth with him and he gave me two different tapes. Now, the first one I can't play because I need to edit out names that are in there. But the second one is a drunk guy. And I had sent him an email right before I came down here and I asked if I could actually play the tape so that you could hear it because I said that you were going to be on this. What up, Fletch? Yeah, she's stalking me again. No, actually, it's because I screwed up the episode, so...
How are you?
All right, so we're going to play this tape and I'm going to be able to hear this guy. It's about a minute 52. All right, here we go.
Hold on, what's the address of your emergency?
Yeah, hey. I got kicked out of the...
Is
the
just
only
a little
barn
bit
you got in town here.
No.
I'm out of stater.
Okay, that doesn't seem fair.
And you got about 100 people in there. Jesus Christ.
And they kicked you out?
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
No, they did.
Wow, I'm so sorry, sir.
No, but you got 100 vehicles out there.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's their mind drunk in there.
Right. There's a lot of drunk people in there?
Go check it out.
How could you tell that they were drunk?
How could I tell they were drunk?
Yeah. Oh, you just knew.
They just kept serving them.
Wow. I'm surprised they would do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can help you with then?
No, that's all right.
Okay. Well, if you need some help, you call us back, okay, buddy?
No, but you know.
Oh, I know.
I guess I just look different. I don't know.
I'm sure that's it.
You know, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever, man.
Yeah, that's just so unfair.
That whole parking lot is plumb full of vehicles, and you know what? And I get scooted out of the door. Wow, that's not right.
Well, I'm sorry they kind of singled you out there.
Yeah, they did.
Well, sorry about that.
All right. No, but I'd like an officer to go up there and
talk to him about how unfair that was.
Well, you see how drunk they are.
Yeah, I'll send one over.
All right, thank you.
Sorry about that.
Bye.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so how would you have dealt with that? The same way?
I'm probably about the same way. You know, if they felt that, it probably, because they're probably causing a scene if they're calling 911, the chances are they're probably causing some sort of scene. So if I had somebody available, I would certainly send one out to, you know, make sure they're okay. Because then, you know, as drunk as he sounded, you know, he could be stumbled out in the road. You know what I'm saying? And then it's going to be the next thing you get somebody laid out. Like, you know, we get those. Like, we might not get them while they're walking drunk, but they done fell out. And, and they're on the roadside. So, you know, I'd send somebody to check on him.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, welfare check either way.
Yeah.
We just got this call about this guy, and he's pretty...
Yeah, if you don't mind, just go ahead and drive by. Yeah,
he's done tore up and about to done fell out. So.
Yeah.
So that's good. Thank you, Justin, for that tape, and I'll make sure to let you know when that's up. The other one that he has, it's... I can't even talk about it because it'll give it away if I say it, so... When I play it, after I'm done editing it, I'll have to make sure that once I play it on an episode, I'll let you know,
okay.
Dana, so you can hear it.
Well, I generally keep up with yours, so we should be good.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Yeah. Especially when we're doing redos and such.
Right.
So if anybody wants to make contact with you or anything, how would they get a hold of you?
I'm on Facebook. My name is Dispatch Dana, and it's like if you want to pull me up on the link, it's like the /Facebook/ it's Dana V 911. And my Twitter and Instagram is at Dana V 911. So I try to keep up with those pretty regularly.
Cool. All right. Sounds good. And then, for Tom, the cool kids of 911. Now is it facebook.com/thecoolkidsof911?
I believe so. And then there's, you know, if you hashtag cool kids of 911, anything you're doing, if it's, you know, 911 related and positive, we like positive, you know.
Of course.
And there's a Twitter and Instagram as well for cool kids of 911 if you'd want to find them there.
They have an Instagram as well?
We do.
Oh,
we do.
I'm going to have to put that one up on mine because I didn't know that. I didn't see that. They also have a website too, though, right?
Yes. It's the coolkidsof911.com, I believe.
Awesome. So make sure to check them out as well as Dana. And thank you very much again for joining me.
Oh, thank you. Like I said, it's a pleasure to be here, and it's just very fortunate to be able to attend and Nina's 8, and the Friends of 911 has been great to receive that scholarship. So keep an eye up. You know, if you find me on Facebook, because I'll post it, you know, for next year, you know, so you guys can be prepared and apply for your own scholarship and
hopefully
get it. So
awesome. Well, thank you once again. And for those listening, if you have any questions, comments, or anything like that, and you want to be on the show, you can email the show, and that's going to be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is @901podcast. And then facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And this will be up and available 24/7 on thejabberlog.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spreaker. Have a good one. You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast, sponsored by Nina and in Digital Telecom. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to WTTpodcast@gmail.com.
This is Dana, and you're listening to the pod... No. The Code 7 Podcast Network. I'm going to do it again. You ready? This is Dana, and you are listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
All right. Good.
The Pod 7 Codecast Network. That was going to be my...